Hello and welcome. I am Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and I want to take this time to address the importance on why one should aim to yield and flow so they can go. Okay, so the topic is yield and flow so you can go. Yield and flow so we can go. And this topic is not a one and done situation. What I mean by that is when a person tunes in and listens to this particular directional aim, it's not going to be, I guess, a topic that a person masters right after listening to it. This is a lifelong pursuit. This is an aim that is going to be present in one's everyday life if they choose to yield and flow so they can go. Yield and flow to what God wants them to do, the way God wants them to do it, to go where God wants them to be, to pursue what God wants them to have, to enjoy what God wants them to have. So you understand what I'm saying as I go, as the Holy Spirit unfolds some things to us and reveals some things to us. But this is a lifelong pursuit. This is a intentional pursuit. This is something that takes effort. It takes one surrendering and letting go of what they want to hold on to and what they're trying to force, and just yielding to God's way of doing things. God's way. So, once again, the topic is yielding and flowing. Well, yield and flow so you can go. But in order to go, a person has to be committed in yielding and flowing in the pathways and the direction that God wants them to go in. And some people might not like this topic. They might not like this directional aim whatsoever. And I can see why a person might not like it, especially if they have a control issue or they want to treat God the way that they want to treat God. And I'm not saying this in any type of disrespect, but sometimes individuals, when they don't really know who God really is, what God really has, and what God can really do for them as a loving father, as a loving protector, as a loving guider, G-U-I-D-E-R, guider. When a person doesn't know all the attributes of Father God and what he wants to do, a person can put God in a box. And what I mean by that is they can limit God. They can limit what God wants to do for them, what God wants to do through them, what God wants to do to them, what God wants to do in them, because they're just so focused on who they think God is based off of their limited knowledge. And they could end up talking to God as if he's a genie. You know, since they understand God created all things, so God, you know, create this for me and do it this way. I mean, they say you're a loving God, so just do this for me the way I want it done. And that is an issue because God is not a genie. Father God is not a genie. Jesus is not a genie. The Holy Spirit is not a genie. God is our Father, and God has promised some things to us, and God has a covenant with us, his chosen ones, his children. He has a covenant, with us, but it's conditional based off of our obedience and the way he tells us to do things. And God most likely put some desires in your heart, and God could have shown you some things that he wants, or people, or whatever it may be that he wants you to have, opportunities, relationships, experiences he wants you to have that align with his word. He probably showed all of that to you. He probably confirmed it with you. But if we, as his children, don't yield and flow the way he wants us to, we're not going to receive and go where he wants us to go. Because God could show you, okay, this is for you, and I've okayed this, I've confirmed this, and it's in my will, and you have my permission, and you can do this. I'm not against it. I'm not opposed to it. But in order to receive it, although I said it's yours, you still have to yield and flow so you can go in the direction to receive what I want you to have. And sometimes people get caught up. I know I have, and this is something that I'm working on a daily basis. Yielding and flowing. Because God tells me and has told me several things that belong to me that have not manifested yet. But I know some things that belong to me. And me personally speaking, you get excited about it. You're ready for it because you're looking like, man, I'm tired of where I've been. I'm tired of where I am. I'm ready to move forward with this. Let's go ahead and get to it. You know what I'm saying? And God said I could do it, so let me just go ahead and jump ahead and do it. But that's not the way God told me to do it. So I hit a wall. And the Holy Spirit let me know, see, you need to stop. In order for this to go the way that you want it to go, in order for this to exceed your expectations, in order for you to receive everything God has for you, yes, I showed you some things that belong to you. Yes, I showed you where you're going. Yes, I showed you what I promised you. Yes, I showed you this is okay. You can have that. You can do that. But you have to do it my way. You have to do it my way. So in order to do it my way, you have to yield and flow so you can go. And it's been a journey. It's not a game, because it causes you to surrender. Whatever thoughts and plans that you planned in your mind, like, it's going to go this way. We're going to do this. It's going to be this way. Okay. It don't be like that. It's not like that at all. But praise God that he already said in his word in Romans 8:28 that, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In the 138th Psalm and the 8th verse, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So God is letting us know that he will perfect all that which concerns you. Everything concerning you, God will perfect it. And God's mercy endures forever. And God will never forsake the works of his hands. Since you're the work of his hands, he's perfecting everything concerning you. And all things are working together for your good. It's all working together for your good. So when God tells you something, when God reveals something to you, when the Holy Spirit unfolds some things to you regarding your life and the path that you're going, or some steps that you need to take, or some people that you'll be connecting with, or whatever it may be, some opportunities coming your way, the Holy Spirit will show you how to receive it and how to go about pursuing it or doing it or whatever it may be. But we have to make sure to keep in line with the Holy Spirit. Keep in line with what God said to do. Because sometimes out of excitement, we can jump at something and try to make something happen. And we mess something up. Because we forced it out of season. Or we forced something thinking that we knew what to do. So it's important for us to yield and flow. So when we go down these paths where we think we know what we're doing, when we're stopped, there's no need to keep forcing anything. It's just time to, okay, let me, the Lord stop me. Let me take a step back. Let me yield and flow. I don't know what to do right now, so let me just sit still until I get some more direction. It doesn't look like it's working out, but Lord, you said that all things are working together for my good. You said that you're perfecting all that which concerns me. Lord, what will I do? What do I need to do? How is this going to work out? It's going to work out. Well, God, I mean, this is not the way I would have done it. I would have done it this way. This is not what I was thinking. I was thinking this way. Well, God tells us in Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the 8th through the 9th verse, that my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking to us. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Right there, God is letting us know that although he can reveal something to you or show you something, and you think you know the way, he knows the way, and he knows the way of how you're going to get there if you follow him. And that's what we want to do. We want to yield and flow so we can go. What does yielding mean? What is the definition of yield? Well, for the context of this directional aim, yield means to relinquish control. To relinquish control, to surrender, to submit. To relinquish one's possession of something. And a person could be holding on to how they want things to be, the way they want it done. And it's sad, but a person get caught up telling God what to do and not even realizing that that is what they're doing. They're not yielding, but they're telling God, they're telling Jesus, hey, this is how you gonna do it. And this is how I want it done. Since you told me that I'm going to receive this, Lord, do it this way. Now, the Lord showed you something that you didn't know about your life. He promised you some things of what you would receive and how they would come about. But he didn't tell you the time frame and the route he was going to take in order to get those blessings to you, to me. But as I mentioned earlier, out of excitement and out of, oh, I'm so ready to get up out of this situation I'm in. Oh, I've been here for so long. Oh, thank you. Finally answering my prayers. You're coming through. Yeah, we're going to do it this way, Lord. And that's what we don't need to do. When we get to that point of, Lord, do it this way, I'm talking, you can sound crazy. You can end up sounding just absolutely off. Because just out of that, it could be out of fear. It could be out of the lack of faith. It could be out of just being tired. Sick and tired of being where you are, and you ready for this thing to pop off, jump off, begin, start, connect. Let's get it. Let's come on. And before you know it, you're telling God what to do. And then you're using, not you, but a person is using God's word where, God, you said this and you said that and you do this right now. You actually doing that. Not you, but a person can end up doing that and then think that they're doing right because they think that they're activating their faith and they are decreeing some things. God, you're going to do it this way. I decree it in the name of Jesus. You're going to do it this way. Now, you can decree God's word of what he said, but when we start decreeing what we want apart from God's word, and it's not in alignment with what God said, that's the problem. And that is when a person begins trying to put God in this category as if he's a genie and a yes man. Hey, you gonna do what I say. You loving, right? You a loving father, so do this. And a person has to catch themselves. I can't even see if they can catch themselves. They need the Holy Spirit to check them, really. They need to be checked. But in order to be checked, a person has to yield and surrender. So when the Holy Spirit lets the person know, hey, who you think you're talking to? That's not how we're doing this. If anything, you need to be thanking God that he revealed something to you, because he could have kept it hidden from you. So you need to stop. Now, when a person hears that from the Holy Spirit, they need to, oh, Lord, forgive me. I was wrong. But sometimes out of fear, a person, or sometimes it's not even fear. Sometimes it's how they were taught. If they were taught wrong on how to approach God and how to communicate with God, and they were not taught on how to yield and really surrender and have a real relationship with God, and they're just taught on these traditions of all kinds of stuff that I'm not about to get into, they find themselves treating God as a genie, telling God what he gonna do, the way he gonna do it, and why he need to do it and get it done. Because I said so. And it's not good to do. It's like they're using God's word as a weapon. Now, some people, they can see how a man or a woman can get God's word and start weaponizing the word, you know, using the word of God to manipulate, control people in the wrong way. But some people don't want to take a look within and see, although their intentions are not to manipulate, and although their intentions are not to control, and although their intentions are not to do anything dastardly and diabolical, they shouldn't be using God's word, even if they're praying for themselves or their loved ones. It shouldn't be, God's word shouldn't be used to beat God over the head with it. That's not what the word of God is used for. The word of God is for us. That's what the word of God is. The word of God is for us to meditate on, to read, understand the glory of God, all of who God is, all of what God has, and all of what God can do. That's what the word of God is. It is a truth book. It is a mystery book. Although it is pinpointing moments of history or in history regarding the things God did for people, but it's a book of truth for us to know where we need to go and how we need to do things, and the importance of yielding, surrendering, and flowing. So we can go where God wants us to go. If you look all throughout the Bible, you'll see the importance of yielding and flowing to go where God wants us to go. The importance of yielding and surrendering in order to go where God wants you to go. Yielding and flowing even when things don't look right. Even when you want to try to control and change the situation, but you understand, you know what? Even though I want to change this, even though I want to get out of this, this looks like a negative. The Holy Spirit is telling me to go through it because I'm not alone. And I need to yield and flow. Because whether you know it or not, in every problem that you go through, when you are going through that problem with God and doing things God's way, there is always a promotion following it. Even if you can't conceptualize that right now, you thinking, how am I going to be promoted out of this? Because I've really been going through. No, there's a promotion when you do it God's way. Even when you go through difficulty of doing it God's way, there's always a promotion when you yield and flow. And that's why I said in the beginning, this is not a one and done situation. You hit this directional aim and you're, you know what? I need to yield and flow so I can go. Yeah, I need to yield and flow so I can go. Okay. When those troubling times come and those moments of testing and proving come, it's time to yield and flow. Even if there's an option or a opportunity where you can control some things outside of God's will. It looks more appealing to do it outside of God's way. Will you yield and flow? So this is a daily pursuit. Yielding and flowing. And it's not a game. You will have to yield and flow to go where God wants you to go when it comes to relationships. You will have to yield and flow to go where God wants you to go as it relates to your finances, your desires, your destiny, your health, and in your relationship with God. You have to yield and flow to go where God wants you to go in a deeper relationship with Him. And that could look like walking away from traditions that have absolutely nothing to do with your spiritual development. Walking away from family members, their way of doing things that are not conducive and don't align with God's way. Walking away from organizations that praise the organization and the founder of the organization more than they promote, praise, and uplift the name of Jesus and Father God. They say they're doing that, but they're not doing that. So yielding and flowing is, it's in everything you have to do as a child of God. But when you yield and flow, and you go where God wants you to go, you are allowing God to manifest Himself in you, to you, through you, and for you. Even though it doesn't look like it. Even though it doesn't look like it. That's why it's important to pray in the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to direct you, because when God shows you some things or reveals some things to you and you consistently yield and flow, and you're like, God, is it okay for me to do this? Do I have it okay? Can I go ahead and do it? He'll let you know, yeah, you have the okay, go ahead. But when you don't have the okay, and most of the time we don't have the okay because of timing, or we don't have the okay because we are putting our spin on things. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it this way, and it's going to turn. Okay, we really just took God out of the equation. We want to receive what God has but we don't want to do it his way, and we don't want to give him any credit. So I'm going to do this. And it's for self-glorification, and we're doing things in self-effort. I mean, you might not be doing it, so I shouldn't be saying we, because you probably already have it together. That I was wrong for saying that. Somebody else might be doing it in self-effort. And when we do things in self-effort, it might look like, well, I keep saying we, my bad. When a person does things in self-effort, apart from God, it might look like they on top and everything's going according to their plan and schedule. And, you know, they're going around saying what God did. Yeah, God brought a person to it. But if God didn't permit them and tell them to do it that way, it's going to crumble down. So my aim is to encourage you to yield and flow so you can go where God wants you to go. In addition to not beating God over the head with his word, trying to tell him what to do or how he's going to do things, when God created the word of God for us, for you, for me, we need the word. We need to meditate on the word. We need it. We need it. He doesn't need it. He has it. It's his word. He already know what he said. We're the ones who need it. It's not for us to go cherry pick what we want him to do and treat him like a genie. Do this, God. Do it. And no, it doesn't work that way. And that's why I said in the beginning, a lot of people, some people, might not even like what I have to say about this, but it's the truth. We have to yield and flow. Do things God's way. And when things look like, oh my goodness, it's not working out, God knows what he's doing. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You are the work of his hands. He is not abandoning you. He will not do that. So if he has you in a position right now, he knows what he's doing. You could be in the very middle, in the midst of the very thing God said was yours. And you're thinking, okay, I see stuff happening. I'm not sure if anything's happening. Lord, what's going on? What is it? God knows how to bring it together and finish it. But we have to yield and flow, because yielding and flowing shows our dependence on God and our faith in God. I'm just going to give you the examples I'm thinking about in Scripture of the importance of yielding and flowing. The first one I'm thinking about is, well, the first one the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance is the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And that is found in John, the 11th chapter, and I encourage you to read that on your own in its entirety, but I'm going to go through it. But we see that Mary and Martha, who were sisters, and their brother Lazarus, all three siblings had a close relationship with Jesus. Now, it happened when Lazarus, their brother, he got sick, and the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, our brother, your friend, whom you love, is sick. Now, Jesus heard this, and he said, the sickness will not end in death, but on the contrary, it is for the glory and honor of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And Jesus considered the siblings to be dear friends. But when Jesus heard about the sickness that Lazarus was going through, he stayed where he was. He stayed in the same place for two more days. Now I'm jumping down to the 20th verse. I'm still in John, the 11th chapter, but the 20th verse says, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, She went to meet him while Mary remained sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Then you jump to the 32nd verse. Mary came to the place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews who had come with her also sobbing, he was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death, and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him," as a close friend. Then we jump down to the 39th verse. It says, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord." So you see that. You have two sisters who have a brother. The brother died. All of them are close friends in relationship with Jesus. Jesus comes after the brother has been in the tomb for days. And now Jesus is about to go see about his friend Lazarus. So he tells the sister, or he tells the people, "Take away the stone." And the sister of the dead man said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God, the expression of his excellence?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me, but I have said this because of the people standing around, so that they may believe that you have sent me and that you have made me your representative." When he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Out came the man who had been dead, his hands and feet tightly wrapped in burial cloths and with a burial cloth wrapped around his face. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and release him." Now, the reason that I shared this is because had not the sisters yielded and flowed with the way God wanted things done, they would have missed out on an opportunity to see a miracle. We already know what they were thinking. They kept saying, both sisters said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That is their thought. That is what they were thinking regarding what occurred. The next thing one of the sisters said is, when Jesus said, "Take away the stone," one sister said, "Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he's been dead for 4 days. See, that's her way. If something is dead or appears dead, why take the stone away? The situation's hopeless. This right here goes back to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, in the 8th through the 9th verse. For God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. Right there, we can clearly see God had a plan of where he wanted all three siblings to go and what he wanted them to receive, the way he wanted it done. And it was to glorify him, to show the manifestation of his power in them, to them, through them, and for them. God used them. It was a problem that they were all going through. But right after that problem, when they yielded and they flowed to go where God wanted them to go, they received a promotion. Even though it didn't look like a promotion. It didn't sound like a promotion. It didn't smell like a promotion. It didn't feel like one. But sometimes out of fear, somebody in a fearful state, they would have said the same thing Martha said. Hey, don't take away the stone. If you take it away, situation hopeless. You're going to smell some stuff. But God knows how to filter through all of that. Because whatever God has for you, no matter if it looks like death, it looks like it's over, it looks like it'll never come to life, it stinks, it has an odor. Lord, how are you going to fix this? Surely I thought this was going to be, you told me to yield and flow, but look where I am. This situation looks hopeless. God already knows he's coming to you. He already knows. Because when you read John, the 11th chapter, you'll see how Jesus was in the place he was before he went to the sisters and the brother. How he said, oh, I need to go over there. I have to go manifest Father God in me, to me, and through me in this situation. Because God wants him to go somewhere. And God is doing the very same thing with us when things seem hopeless. But it's not our job to be beating him over the head with the Bible, telling him how to do something. You see how the sisters in John, the 11th chapter, had to yield? Jesus was telling them some things that didn't seem right. They didn't make sense. Take away a stone. Lord, this is helpless. But I do trust you. Even though it doesn't make sense, you just do it. We have to yield and flow to go where God wants us to go. Another example that pinpoints the importance of yield, or targets in on the importance of yielding and flowing, is found in Mark, the 10th chapter. And it is the account of the rich young ruler. And it is found, I said Mark, the 10th chapter, but it's Mark, the 10th chapter, starting at the 17th verse, going to the 31st verse. But it says, as he was leaving on his journey, and he refers to Jesus, as he was leaving on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, Jesus, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he replied to him, teacher, I have carefully kept all these commandments since my youth. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all your property and give the money to the poor, and you will have abundant treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, become my disciple, believe and trust in me, and walk in the same path of life that I walk. But the man was saddened at Jesus' words, and he left grieving because he owned much property and had many possessions, which he treasured more than his relationship with God. Just hearing that, or reading that passage, because I stopped at the 22nd verse, but just listening to that, or hearing that, or reading that when you do on your own, you can see how God wanted to take that man to a higher level in a relationship with him. And when we do things God's way, he already told us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's perfecting all that which concerns us. We have rewards for obeying him. We lack no good thing. We're blessed when we do what God tells us to do. But you read about this man who told Jesus, told him, hey, Jesus, you are good. I understand that you are good. I understand that you are a man of authority. I understand that you're righteous. And that's what some people could do. They can acknowledge God for being good and being who he is, but they don't acknowledge him as being a guider, being a leader, being a protector, being a provider, being the one who's going to take them to levels that exceed their expectations. If only they yield and flow and surrender and do things the way he wants them done, so that person can go where God wants them to be, where they are a representative of the glory of God because God has manifested himself in them, to them, through them, and for them. But going back to this rich young ruler, he acknowledged God, he acknowledged Jesus. He does acknowledge, okay, you're good. But when Jesus tells the man what to do in order to go where God wants him to be, he walked away. You read it. You'll see it. He walked away saddened. He was grieved because he saw Jesus the way he wanted to see him. I see you as good, but I don't see you as a guider. I see you as good, but I don't see you as you trying to take me to the next level. I see you, you know, you good, but I don't see you as one saving me, providing for me, delivering me, promoting me. I just see you as, you know, you good. Because everything else I did on my own. See, that's the problem. A person did it on their own, but if they were to yield, flow, and surrender, they'll go places they've never been. And if you know who Jesus is and you know who Father God is, when you do what God tells you to do his way, and although it might look like you are losing something, you're gaining more than what you think you lost. But you never lose when you do what God tells you to do. Jesus told this man to yield and flow. That's what he told him, to yield and flow, to go where I need you to go. He told him, you lack one thing, okay? Go and sell all your property and give the money to the poor, and you will have abundant treasure in heaven. And come follow me, becoming my disciple, believing and trusting in me, and walking the same path of life that I walk. So Jesus told him, I want to take you to another level. God has some great things for you. If you just trust God, believe in my power, you'll lack no good thing. You're lacking something now without me, but with me you lack no good thing. In Psalm, the 34th chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, even strong young lions go without and get hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So Jesus told him, you lack one thing. So he's letting him know you're lacking in some areas. You may think that you have it all together because you're walking in self-effort and you have this money right now. And this money, you're looking to it as your source. But if you give all of that away and do it my way, where you are stripping yourself from depending on something that can't satisfy. If you do it my way, you'll lack nothing. If you yield and flow, you'll lack nothing. Because God is not a liar. If you do it my way, you'll lack nothing. But we read what happened, and the young, rich young ruler does what many people do now. You look at what you have and you're thinking, or a person looks at what they have and they think, if I give this away, if I give this opportunity away, if I give this idea away, if I give what I'm holding on and trying to control away, how will I have anything? How? And Jesus is letting us know. Let it go. Do it His way. And you'll have more than what you've ever asked for, thought of, or imagined. If you believe and trust in what God said to do. And that requires us to yield and flow and go. And that's why I said in the beginning of this, it's going to be a lifelong pursuit, a daily intentional pursuit to do it God's way, to surrender, yield, and flow. When God tells us to do something, we have to do it His way. We have to do it His way. Go back to this rich young ruler. Jesus told him, if you do it my way, you will have abundant treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Become my disciple. Follow my path. The way I walk. The way I do things. Because it glorifies God. Now, Jesus revealed that to him. And he was saddened by it. Because he's got his way. He's got his thoughts. And they don't align with God's. Whenever we do what God tells us to do, His way, we never lose. Never, no matter what it looks like. Let's think about Daniel. That account in scripture where Daniel was disrespected. He was thrown in a den of lions because he was doing things God's way. He was doing things God's way. Now, he could have caused a riot, went off on his co-workers, did some stuff to the king, could have did a whole bunch of stuff. But he understood in that moment, let me yield and flow so I can go where God wants me to go. And sure enough, even though he went through that trouble, went through that issue, went through that problem, by him yielding and flowing, he was able to go where God wanted him to go, and he was promoted. Same thing with the three Hebrew boys. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look good. They can go do it their way. They could have caused a riot. Could have showed what they were going to do, how they were going to control things and let people know what's up their way. They going to know today. No, but they chose to yield and flow, and they were able to go where God wanted them to go, and they were promoted right there in the midst of a trial, in the midst of trouble. They were promoted. We didn't read about them shouting out God's word and telling God how to deliver them and how to get them out. This is what you gonna do. It doesn't work that way. But it takes maturity and it takes understanding and revelation and allowing the Holy Spirit to unfold the truth of who God is, what God has and what God can do, and unfolding Father God, unfolding Jesus, unfolding the nature of the Holy Spirit, unfolding the Word of God, unfolding the mystery of the Word of God, unfolding the truth of God. Unfolding the covenant, unfolding the promises, unfolding revelation, wisdom, discernment, understanding, insight. It takes all of that so we can do it God's way. So if you go all through the Word of God, you'll see examples of somebody who had to yield and flow in order to go where God wanted them to go. Ruth, she had to yield and flow. Naomi had to yield and flow. Rahab had to yield and flow. Moses had to yield and flow. Moses had to yield and flow a lot, okay? But even when it was revealed to Moses of who he was, he had to yield and flow and let go of what he wanted to do because he tried to control some things and it got him in a situation. But it didn't take away from how God used him and what God had planned for him. Why? Because he had to yield and flow. So I encourage you to yield and flow, to go where God wants you to go. And you know what yielding and flowing looks like in your life. Once again, the Word of God, the Bible, is a mystery book. Yes, it's an account of history, but it's an account of history revealing the mystery of God and what God wants you to do. The Word of God is for you to meditate. Meditate on how God wants you to do things His way. And when you do it His way, you're successful. That's what Joshua, the first chapter in the 8th through the 9th verse says. Let me go to it. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And another scripture that I want to leave you with that is important. And that is Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 29th through the 30th verse. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to share that scripture with you and that promise from God to you, because it could be easy to try to force some things. And I know that probably didn't even sound like it goes together, but a person can feel like they're doing something productive if they try to force something to make it happen on their own, not realizing that when we force things, it comes with major consequences. If God is not the center of it, or we're not getting instruction from God to go about doing something a particular way. But Jesus in Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 29th to the 30th verse, is letting us know to do it His way. The world has its yoke, and if you try to yoke up with the world, you're going to be stressed, depressed, and in a mess, okay? But if you take up on the yoke of Christ and you learn from God and you yoke up with God and you yoke up with Jesus, you will find rest. You don't have to do all this stuff in self-effort and it looks like you're not going anywhere. But if you do it God's way, God's yoke is easy. God's yoke is light. Why? Because God has provided you with divine backup, divine assurance. You have angels working on your behalf. You have the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to you. You have Father God watching over you. And you have Jesus who already fought your battles, and you're walking in a victorious state right now, because every battle is already won and the enemy is already defeated. He's just trying to lie to you to make you think that he's not defeated, but you are already winning. You're on top. But you don't want to get to the point where you start, or a person starts walking in self-effort, thinking that they're losing and they're getting out of the will and way of God, doing things in self-effort apart from God, and now they're in a trap where Satan is over there wreaking havoc in their lives, making them think that, oh, you got it going on, but they don't. They got it going wrong is what it is. But the aim is to do it God's way. Yield and flow. I already gave you the definition of yield, and that means to, once again, relinquish control, to surrender. But flow means to proceed smoothly and readily, to have a smooth continuity, and that means to move in a uninterrupted continuation, to move smooth. And when a person yields and they flow, see, the Holy Spirit will let them know what to do as they're flowing. they're getting direction. Okay, Lord, do it this way. Okay, God, okay, this is opening up. Okay, do this. You'll know. But it's important to ask the Holy Spirit, ask Father God for wisdom, discernment on when and how to yield and flow. Understanding what is what. And you'll know what to do. You will know. Now, in one area where it's important to yield and flow, to go where God wants us to go, is accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. God wants us in heaven with Him. He wants that. So He provided us with a Savior, Jesus Christ. If we want to partake in and go where God wants us to go, ultimately, we have to yield and flow as it relates to accepting Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and flow the way He wants us to flow in this earth's realm, glorifying Him, obeying Him, and operating in the Holy Spirit. So, for anybody who is ready to yield and flow and go where God wants them to go in heaven and to live heaven on earth and to receive what God wants them to receive, and they want to be used by God where God can manifest Himself in them, to them, through them, and for them to bring others to Christ and to live as a disciple and an ambassador and representative of God, it's important to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So for anybody who has not done that and they're ready to do that, you can repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross just for me. I also believe that You raised Jesus from the dead with all power in His hands. Father God, I'm asking that You forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I'm inviting You to come live on the inside of me. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. Father God, thank You for accepting me into Your family and in Your kingdom. And I thank You, Lord, that this very moment I'm born again, and I thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, congratulations for anybody who prayed that prayer and they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now it's important to yield and flow. Let God speak to you. Don't do all of the talking. Let God speak to you. Let God develop the relationship as you do your part. Aim to yield and flow. To go where God wants to take you, because He's going to take you to some great places and allow you to experience some great things as His ambassador and as His child. But the aim is to accept Jesus, live a lifestyle that's conducive to God's word, start developing a relationship with God, taking time out just for Him on a daily basis, asking the Holy Spirit to unfold the truth of the glory of God, all of who God is, all of what God has, and all of what God can do in your life. And then connecting with a body of believers. So you want to ask God, Father God, show me what church I need to go to. And there's nothing wrong with going to a church, seeing that, you know what, this is not the one for me. It's time for me to go. Let me go where God is leading me. Don't get caught up. Yield and flow and go where God tells you to go to receive all God wants you to receive. Okay, so remain encouraged. I want to thank you for tuning in. May God continue to bless you and develop you and increase you as you yield and flow to go where He wants you to go. Okay? Peace and God bless.